80 years ago, Amelia Earhart and her navigator Fred Noonan disappeared over the Pacific Ocean without a trace. All over the world lie scattered pieces of her puzzle, waiting to be put together. Welcome to the Chasing Earhart podcast. I'm your host and the project creator, Chris Williamson. Hello and welcome to the Chasing Earhart podcast. This is your host and the project creator, Chris Williamson. I am happy to be back with you for our 15th episode of Chasing Earhart. This is going to be a good one. Before we get into this week's episode, I want to talk a little bit about our new calendar that we put up on the Chasing Earhart website. If you go to chasingearhart.com/calendar, you'll be able to see a little bit about who we're going to be working with for this particular month of November. This is sort of a way for us to kind of give everybody that's following the project an idea of who we have on tap each particular month. So on the first of every month, we're going to be putting up a new calendar so you know who we're talking to, who we're shooting with, who we're recording with, all that good stuff for that month. It's really important to know, though, that this calendar changes all the time. We have people that we're actually working on adding for the month of November as we speak. We just haven't confirmed them yet. So once we do, you'll see some dates. So I would frequently check the calendar to see who else we're going to be talking with and featuring in the podcast and on the documentary project itself. I want to talk a little bit about some of the names that we have for the month of November, just to kind of give you guys an overview of what we're going to be working on this month. We're going to be shooting with Douglas Westfall and Nicole Swinford for the Chasing Earhart documentary. That's very exciting. We're going to be shooting with Ron Bright for the Chasing Earhart podcast. We're also going to be talking with Tom Vinson of Rockwell Collins, Brian Dunning of Skeptoid.com. We're going to be talking with Andy Sherrill of the Wade Institute, Mike Harris, and Jim Hayton of the Japanese Capture Hypothesis. So we have a really busy month coming up in the month of November, and we're very excited to bring all those folks to you. We're just getting started, as we've said. We have a lot of stuff going on, but November is going to be particularly a fun month. On to this week's guest. Now, before we get into the interview with Ellie, I wanted to give you guys a little bit of exposition and background on why it is we decided to have her on the show and why she really is so important to the Chasing Earhart project. Now, Ellie was scheduled to go out with Tiger on the latest NICU trip that happened this summer. And unfortunately, she wasn't able to make that trip, but Dr. Tom King, who is a friend of the show and a friend of the project, forwarded me her information. And I got to tell you, once I read her story and kind of read the passion in her words regarding Amelia Earhart and regarding the disappearance case and everything she just really felt about Amelia, I knew instantly then that this is a young woman that we wanted to reach out to. Ellie is a very wonderful representation of what the Chasing Earhart Project is all about, and she's also a very wonderful representation of the impact and the legacy that Amelia Earhart continues to have 80 years after she disappeared on young women. And this is a young girl who really is, you know, for all intents and purposes, a very normal girl. She's, you know, got a lot of different interests and things that she likes, but she has a really deep drive and a very deep passion for Amelia Earhart, and you can hear it in her voice, and you all will hear it in just a little bit. And, you know, Ellie is a shining example, I think, of, you know, a young woman today that just is inspired by Amelia and the example that Amelia set all those years ago when she was alive doing these incredible things. And so she really does fit on multiple parts for the project. And I think that everybody's going to get a very different perspective and a very different approach to Amelia Earhart in just a few moments. So, you know, I want to let you guys know a little bit of exposition before we start the actual interview, but this is really a special interview for me. I had a great time talking with her. She's a wonderful young woman, and I promise you that after you listen to this interview, you guys will all be very, very big fans of Ellie Norman. So, that's a little bit of exposition for now, but without further ado, it is my absolute honor and privilege to present to the world Ellie Norman.
Our guest today on the Chasing Earhart podcast is Ellie Norman. She has a really fascinating website that I think a lot of people that are young that are following the podcast and the project will want to check out, called Soaring for Equality. And we'll definitely get into that website a great deal in just a little bit. But Ellie, thank you so much for joining the podcast. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
So can you start off by telling us a little bit about yourself, just your little bit, your background, your education? I know you're in high school right now, but tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, so I'm a junior in high school. I live in Milwaukee, and I have a lot of different interests, such as reading, writing, theater, basketball, lacrosse, baseball, music. I play trumpet and piano, so I have a lot of different interests, but something I'm really, really interested in is history, and that's my favorite class in school, so I think that's probably where that ties in to Amelia Earhart. And as for the aviation part of it, I've been trying to convince my mom to let me take flying lessons for a while now, so we'll see what happens. Hopefully someday I'll get up in the air. I also have two sisters, two cats, and one dog, so that's a little bit about me.
All right, so that sounds great. I think a lot of folks, the reason why I asked you to do that is a lot of folks, we have a lot of young people following the project, and I think it's with the conversation we're about to get into, I think it's really interesting. People will kind of see or hear your example, and you're just like a lot of other young folks that are following the project, have many interests, and I can really appreciate your interest in history, because that's my fascination since I was in second grade or third grade. So, okay, so let's get into it a little bit. So I always like to ask this next question because we always, always get a different answer, and the answers are always really interesting. But I'm particularly interested in your answer. You touched on Amelia, obviously, a little bit, but can you tell us how Amelia Earhart came into your life, what your earliest recollections are of her, and how that worked out for you?
Sure. So to be honest with you, I don't exactly remember a specific time when I first learned about her or when I first got hooked, but there is something that kind of sticks in my brain, and that's the picture book called Amelia and Eleanor Go for a Ride, and that's by Pam Munoz Ryan, illustrated by Brian Selznick, and it's a story about the time that Amelia went to the White House for dinner with Eleanor Roosevelt, and they flew around D.C. after dinner. So for some reason, that's always stuck with me, and it's a mostly true story. And there's just something so intriguing about these two women to me at such a young age, and I wanted to learn more, especially because my name's Eleanor too, so of course that was sort of a cool connection, and I wanted to learn more because I learned that these were two real women who were actually doing something like this. So I started to learn more, and once I learned more, I just couldn't stop wanting to learn even more. And I think what's really helped me grow my interest in Amelia is books, because another book that sparked my interest was Amelia Lost by Candace Fleming.
Right.
And part of that was like learning how many things Amelia and I had in common, because there are a lot of things that when I read about her, it reminds me of me. And then also just learning more about her career and what she did. And also, I think it was probably the first times I started learning more about the mystery of her disappearance in Amelia Lost, because the book is centered around the disappearance and her life at the same time. So that was really interesting. So I think it's hard to pinpoint a specific time that she first caught my attention, because it sort of feels like I've always been interested in her and just constantly want to know more. And I don't know, it might sound cheesy, but like she's been my role model and inspiration for as long as I can remember. So there's not really a specific time where I was like, where I remember first learning about Amelia, because it sort of feels like she's been in my life the whole time. But I think when my interest really turned into more of like an obsession, like in a good way, was in eighth grade for National History Day. I did my project on Amelia, and I knew immediately before my teacher was even done explaining what a National History Day project was that I wanted to have Amelia be my topic, and I just like hoped that she would fit into the theme. And then it turned out, things sort of like fell into place, because it turned out that the theme was leadership and legacy, which is so fitting for Amelia and perfect for that topic. So the more I researched about her for this project, like the more I learned and the more I wanted to know. And so I think that's what really turned my interest into more of like a passion.
Gotcha. Well, that's beautifully stated. And it's interesting you mentioned Pam and Candace, because we're actually, Candace is a big part of our project. So, and we've talked to Pam a couple times, and Pam will probably be doing a podcast pretty soon. So I'll see if I can introduce you guys, Candace and Pam, because they're great, and Candace has got a great book, and so does Pam. So, you know, it's interesting. You talked about the History Day project. I mean, when I was, just to kind of give you a little bit of background on myself, when I was in third grade, I did a History Day project on Amelia Earhart, and I remember our teacher put up these 8x10s all over the classroom of all the different famous Americans. And you had Martin Luther King and you had Harriet Tubman and Abraham Lincoln and Washington and all these different people. And there was this one woman who was there who had, you know, the bomber jacket on, and she had her hands on her hips, and she, you know, I kind of at that time felt like she was staring at me. So I after a few days, no one had picked her yet. And I picked her, and I did a History Day project on her. And ironically enough, in fourth grade, I did another one. In fifth grade, another one, all the way up to college when I wrote a dissertation on Amelia Earhart. So I can certainly see and understand how you kind of, you know, how she strikes people and she kind of gets into people's lives like that. So that's very nicely stated. And I think a lot of people will enjoy that. So what I want to do is, because a part of this is we want to talk about your website, because, you know, you basically came up with this idea for this website and you put it out there. And I think in this age with, you know, technology and digitalization of everything, websites just kind of a no-brainer to put out there. How'd you come up with the idea for Soaring for Equality for the website, and what made you want to put that online? Was that part of a project that you were doing?
Yeah, so that was my National History Day project, because the project options are exhibit, documentary, paper, performance, and website. And for some reason, I just felt like a website would be the best way to communicate what I wanted to communicate, because when it comes to Amelia, it's such a visual topic because there's so many pictures of her,
right.
And her planes and everything that she did. There's so much visual documentation, including videos. So that was a way for me to really put as much visual representation in the project as I could. Because I think one of my favorite things to look at for Amelia is just the pictures. I love looking at pictures of her. I don't know why I love it so much, but it's just sort of captivating to be able to go through and an archive or something and look at pictures of her and sort of feel like you're there in the moment.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really important to put in a project about her. As well as videos, I found some really good videos from the National Portrait Gallery of her talking or flying and that kind of thing. And I thought that was also really fascinating and captivating because you can hear her voice, you can hear her talk, you can see her movements, and it just sort of makes you feel like you're in the moment.
Yes.
So I thought that was like something that needed to be incorporated into the project.
And why the name Soaring for Equality? What made you decide to pick that name to title your website?
So I wasn't really sure what I wanted to put in my website yet because I was doing my research. But the first thing I came up with was that name. And I think I sort of based the rest of the website off of that name because actually when I was being judged for the competition the first time, they asked me to talk a little bit about her leadership. And I was talking for a while about what she was doing, like, for equality. And then one of the judges afterward actually said that she noticed that I had hardly spoken about aviation, that I was just talking about equality, that I was just talking about her speaking tours around the country, her work at Purdue, the way that she just encouraged women and empowered women. And I realized that that was sort of the basis of my website. So to go back to when I first came up with the name, that's sort of the idea behind it, that she, yes, she was an amazing aviator. Yes, she did so much to encourage others to get into the field of aviation, and she set so many records and everything, but she also was such an advocate for equality and for women to be able to do what they wanted and follow their dreams and for them to be able to have the careers they wanted and study the topics that they wanted without other people saying that they couldn't. And so, right. Like, the first thing I sort of thought of when I was sort of finishing up my research and getting into the website part was the name. And at first I thought, well, Flying for Equality, because her work in aviation sort of led to that impact on women. And so my first idea was Flying for Equality, but then I was like, well, I wasn't really sold on the name. So then I brainstormed some synonyms for flying. And the one that I found that I fell in love with immediately was Soaring for Equality, because I feel like Soaring is just, I don't know, it's just such a really good word for flying that sort of conveys the awe of it and the excitement of being up in the air. So I feel like immediately, as soon as I like came up with the word soaring, and I thought Soaring for Equality, and I thought that's the one I need to use, because it's so simple and yet it's so powerful. And I feel like it, if you had to have one phrase that sums up her entire life, I think that would be the one.
Yeah, I think you make an excellent point. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, the process of building this website and what kind of research you had to kind of go through to put everything on there? I imagine when you're building a site like this, you have to make sure that you put out specific things about Amelia and her life that you wanted to kind of shine the spotlight on, so to speak. How was that process for you, building the website itself and researching the website and what you wanted to put on it?
Yeah, so first it was difficult to figure out, to sort of narrow down everything that I had researched to only 1,200 words, because that's the word limit for the website for the NHD project. And I had so much research, so much information that I had found and thought was helpful. Because when I started out researching, I just, I started out with books and expanded to other sources like archives and historical newspapers. I used the ProQuest historical newspaper database to find old newspapers. And that was chock full of things that were helpful to me. I also used the Purdue archives, the e-archives, and then also my mom and I actually went in and visited the archives.
Yeah.
At Purdue, and got to like go through things and see them for ourselves and that kind of thing. But I collected so much information on Amelia that I had to sort of narrow it down, which is really hard to do because there's so much out there about her. There's so much information. There's so much that she did in her life that's important, especially to a project on leadership and legacy, that I could probably write way over 1,200 words about her. But since I only had a certain amount of words, I had to sort of narrow that down. So to narrow that down, I split all my information up. I color-coded it, because I'm a big fan of color-coding. I color-coded it into different categories that I wanted to make on the website. So that was context, so like historical background around the time. It was causes, which is sort of what led her to aviation and to be this leader. It was advancements, so like achievements, what she did. Leadership, because that was part of the theme, and then legacy, which was also part of the theme, but I think are important to include in a website about a historical person anyway, even if that wasn't the theme.
Right.
So then I used that color coding system to pick out from my notes the most important things from each section. And like I said, narrowing it down was really hard, because even though I had that system and I had each category of the website that I wanted to do, there's, like I said, there's so much information about her that it was really hard to focus on certain things. So I didn't go as in depth as I would have liked because of that word limit. But I think the main thing that I did to narrow it down was I just sort of thought, what would someone who didn't have much knowledge about Amelia need to know if they were to visit this website for the first time? So if someone who, I mean, I think you'd be hard pressed to find someone who doesn't know the name Amelia Earhart.
Right.
But if you were someone who didn't have much background about her and you visited the website, you happened upon the website and you started reading it, what would you need to know to understand who she was and why what she did was so important? So I think that was what sort of guided the way I narrowed it down.
So, and I gotta say, I love how you did it. And I think this is something that we need to stress to young folks out there who are following Chasing Earhart, following this project. you didn't just go right to the internet when you started researching. You hit libraries, you hit archives, you hit newspapers. You went through the actual, what a lot of people would say, consider the old school way of researching. And I think a lot of the folks that are involved in our project, as far as the experts and the historians, would really applaud you for that as a young person going that route. Because a lot of people just instantly go to the internet. Well, I'm just going to Google search. I'm going to Wikipedia and everything. And while that's helpful and that's a good, quick way to kind of get some quick facts, I think there's something to say that you went and you took the original ways of researching somebody and you basically took that and you built a technological way of showcasing the research that you did. So I applaud you for that. That's really incredible that you did that.
Thank you. Yeah.
So let's move on a little bit here. I want to talk about the disappearance a little bit, and we won't get into any of the hardcore stuff with you, but I want to ask you to tell the folks out there that are listening to this podcast how you came to be involved in the search for Amelia Earhart. And you were scheduled, I know, to go out with Tiger this summer with Betchart and Tiger. But how did you get into that part of the search? And what interested you? What kind of took your interest from her life and her legacy and her leadership into sort of kind of segueing into the disappearance and the search for Amelia Earhart?
So I can't exactly remember exactly how I found Tiger, but I'm pretty sure it was in eighth grade when I was researching that project. And I went to my library, and when I was checking out my books, I found a National Geographic documentary about her disappearance. And I watched it to get information mostly about her legacy, on the part of the website that focused on her legacy. And the documentary was focusing on all of the various theories relating to her disappearance. And I had never really looked at that before, because most of my life I had been, like you said, looking at her life, what she did when she was living, when she was flying. And I had never really focused on her disappearance before, but watching this documentary, I was fascinated by all of the research that people had put in to solve the mystery and to find out where she went. And I think the theory that I believed most when I was watching this documentary was that of Tiger. And I'm pretty sure that Mr. Gillespie was actually in the documentary. I can't remember what it was called, but so after watching the documentary and some of the theories, I was like, oh, that might make sense, but maybe not. And some of them I was like, I don't believe it. But that theory, I was like, that makes a lot of sense. And the evidence that they had made a lot of sense. So I went online and I researched each of the theories individually and like sort of came up with my own collection of information and evidence that people had found so far, and sort of cataloged it by myself so I could look at the various theories. And then I went on Tiger's website and researched more about them and what they did. And I think their research is really what got me hooked on the disappearance as well, because obviously I was already super interested in Amelia, but I think it was Tiger that got me interested in the disappearance as well. And I just remember thinking that I wanted to help find Amelia Earhart. Like, as soon as I watched it, I thought, I want to be one of the people who finds Amelia Earhart. So my mom signed us up to be members of Tiger, and we've been closely following along with the developments ever since. And I always get really excited when a new newsletter comes in the mail or I get an email about what's going on. And I also remember the first time that my mom and I communicated with Mr. Gillespie, because that was after I had read the article in Smithsonian Magazine, which I think was called Will the Search for Amelia Earhart Ever End? Okay. And that, not only is it history, and history is so important to remember and to understand and to apply to our lives right now, but also the fact that it's this whole mystery surrounding it. And most times when people find a mystery, they aren't satisfied until it's solved. So to me, it's evident why people are still holding on to this. But so in the actual search itself, in the expedition, I think it was winter of last year, when we were reading a newsletter from Tiger, and I read that members could come along on the expedition. And I had followed the expedition closely the year before, but somehow I didn't know that members were offered the possibility to go. And so when I learned this, immediately I made up my mind that I wanted to go. It was all I could think about and talk about for a really long time afterwards. You can ask my mom. It was all I would talk about. And just anytime anyone mentioned anything that had to do with an expedition or with Amelia, I would just say, we need to go on this expedition, because not only was it going to be a huge adventure, like a bigger adventure than I'd ever been on before in my entire life and full of so much learning, but it would also make me part of the search to find Amelia Earhart. And I just wanted to go more than anything else. And so eventually it took some convincing, but my mom agreed to let me go and also to come with me. So we were all ready to go, but unfortunately, due to some schedule and financial changes, we had to cancel our plans last minute. And at first, as you can probably expect, I was devastated, and I thought that, like, well, I felt like the world was ending. But instead of just giving up, or instead of deciding that I wasn't going to be involved in this anymore because of how disappointed I was, instead I decided to turn it around and follow along with all the updates from the trip and do more research about Amelia and stay up to date about the latest news and everything. And we also scheduled another trip to the Purdue archives in July, this past July, to see the archives, because we went on Amelia's 120th birthday. So that was a really cool experience. So I made the most of it, and also kept up to date with the expedition and everything that they were doing and what they had found so far and that kind of thing. And so although I didn't get to go, I still am really grateful to be a part of this whole search and a whole community of people who love Amelia as much as I do.
Well, you know, I think that was your turning point. You know, everybody has a turning point when they're really passionate about someone or something, especially when it comes to history. I could tell you for sure that we've had that same thing with this project that we're doing now. And I can tell you that it's very easy to give up and to feel like your efforts have been wasted, so to speak, or whatever, because, you know, something doesn't go the way you want it. But I think it's to your character that you kind of decided to turn that into a positive and keep researching and keep doing it. And I think a lot of people can really learn a lot from what you just talked about. So really that, you know, went from a really high point to a really low point almost overnight. And then you turned that around and made it a positive thing. So I think for the folks out there that are listening to this, you set a great example. So I'm very proud of you that you decided to keep going. I think that's something that Amelia would be really proud of. So I commend you for that.
Thank you.
I want to talk. I know you've talked a little bit about your involvement with Tiger. Obviously, you've chatted with Tom King, who is Tiger's senior archaeologist. He's a great guy. He's a good friend of the project. He was our inaugural guest on the podcast, and I have a lot of respect for Mr. King, Dr. King, I should say. What's that been like with you for you to kind of communicate with Dr. King and kind of look at sort of the science side of the archaeological side of the search for Amelia Earhart? You're really getting into the kind of the nitty gritty there with that.
Yeah, so I emailed him in the first place because I wanted to know more about the expedition and the newest developments, since the National Geographic article had come out that the dogs had alerted on the Seven site on the island, and also because they had they were talking about plans to go off and search for the missing bones. So I emailed him sort of explaining who I was and my interest in Amelia, and ask for more details about their findings, like how the soil analysis would work, those kinds of things, and the science behind it, because I knew that he was sort of the expert on that. And I told him that I was eagerly following along and awaiting more information, and offered my help as well should he need anything. So he was extremely kind and didn't hesitate to reply, and sent me all the information I was craving. And he sent me a whole summary that he had sent out to other project participants, sort of explaining from his perspective what had happened on the expedition, what they had done, what they had found, and what the next steps were, which was really helpful because not only did he have great descriptions of the island itself and what it was like, which sort of put me in perspective of what the trip had been like, he also made the science and the next steps clear to me. And he also added me to the email list of project participants, which I was really, really grateful and excited to be a part of, because it's been amazing to be a part of that email list, because I get awesome updates about everything that's going on, and everyone is so welcoming because, like I said before, it's just a community of people who love Amelia Earhart and are so interested in either the science of it or her life or the mystery of her disappearance. And also, I communicated to him about his career in archaeology, which was very helpful because I'm not quite sure what I want to do in my life yet. There are like a lot of options that I'm looking at, and while it's totally okay to not know what I want to do, I also want to sort of prepare myself for the possibilities in life. So I emailed him and asked him about high school classes that he thought would be valuable to take now and prepare for a job similar to his, or a job that does something with Amelia, or a job with Tiger or something like that. And so he was very helpful with that as well, and sort of told me his perspective on each of the classes, each of the courses, subjects that are helpful. And some of them I was surprised that would be courses that would be helpful for someone in his field. And some of them, I thought, oh yes, that makes sense. So that was also really helpful. So it's just been a really great experience. And everyone who I've been in communication with through email has been extremely helpful and welcoming. And they've just sort of made sure that I feel like I'm a part of the search and a part of the expedition, even if I didn't get to go on it. And have really helped me grow my interest even further in Amelia and understand more what's going on, because there's you can understand a lot from newsletters, from doing your own research, but when you're in contact with someone who's actually part of the project and who's on the ground doing research and finding that information, it's really helpful, and it really helps you understand the bigger picture.
So let's discuss something that I think you'll be able to really talk about here and really kind of give a good perspective on. As you and I both know, this year, 2017, marks the 80th anniversary of Miss Earhart and Mr. Noonan's disappearance. Everyone seems to be fascinated by this case, whether it's the researchers working the various hypotheses regarding her disappearance, whether it's just folks that are inspired by Amelia's life, authors, historians. The entire planet seems to be fascinated by this case. Tell us, from your perspective, why you think the whole world seems to just latch on to Amelia Earhart's disappearance, in this case in particular, 80 years after she's disappeared.
Well, I think part of it is that she touched so many people's lives back then that it would be hard to imagine that she wouldn't impact people today, and maybe even more people, because of the way our technology has come. Yeah. And the fact that we have so many resources online and all that stuff, that people can learn more about history and other topics with so much more ease of access. Because if I go onto Google and I just quick type in Amelia Earhart, there are so many things that come up. And of course, with our with the number of books that are available to us today that are about Amelia or that have Amelia in them, it would be hard to imagine that she wouldn't impact people today. So I think one reason people are fascinated by her is how strong she was and how different from so many other people in that time she was, because she was who she was, and she didn't let anyone else tell her who that was supposed to be. She found what she loved and she did it, even if people thought that she shouldn't be the one to do it, or even if people thought that she wasn't good at it, or even if she felt like she wasn't good at it at certain points. She just kept working hard and kept doing it no matter what other people thought, and she always pushed through challenges. She never backed down from a challenge. She never said no to an adventure, and she never let other people tell her no. And I think that's such an impactful thing back then and today, because there are so many people who are afraid to do something they love or who don't know what they love yet. And her life sort of reaches out to those people who either haven't followed their dreams yet or who have followed their dreams and understand. And I think one of her main messages was to just follow your dreams and do what you wanted, even if other people said that you couldn't or said that you shouldn't. And also she didn't know what she wanted to do for a lot of her life. She went back and forth between certain things. Like she went to medical school to be a nurse and then dropped out, and she hadn't made up her mind yet. And when she started flying, she sort of found what she loved. And at first it wasn't a career for her. At first she was a social worker and she did other things.
Right.
But eventually she made her passion her life and she made it her career. And I think that's really inspiring to people, because she encouraged everyone to find what they loved and to do it. And even today, especially today, even, that is a really important message. Even for me, that's an important message, because like I said, I'm a high schooler. I'm not sure what I want to do yet, and I have so many different interests that there are so many different ways, but I know that that's okay, because eventually I'll find something that I love. And I think in Amelia, I have found something that I love. And for so many years, I've gone back and forth between like saying, oh, I want to be an author. Oh, I want to be a teacher. Oh, I want to be an architect at one point. I wanted to be an engineer at one point, that kind of thing. And at one point I was like, I have absolutely no idea. And then it hit me. It was sort of an aha moment at one point. I was like, what would I love to do for the rest of my life? Is there something out there that I would be happy doing for the rest of my life? And then I realized, oh, Amelia. It was like kind of an aha moment that had been in front of me this whole time. It wasn't really like a duh moment, but it was like something that had been in front of me this whole time and I hadn't really realized it before. And then obviously I don't know where that would take me, but if I were doing something with Amelia for the rest of my life, I'd be the happiest person in the world. So like that's something that sort of inspired me, and I think that inspires a lot of other people to just do what they want and to follow their dreams. But then also there's like that equality side of her. She was an advocator for equality, for adventure, and she had just like this amazing spirit that people were drawn to and they couldn't help but be captivated by. And I think that's still true today. Just everything she stood for just sort of captivates people, and like it did for me, leaves them wanting more information, leaves them wanting to see more of her life and understand who she was and what she did. And I think in her story, there's something for everyone. No matter what your interests are, there's something in her story and also in her disappearance that can sort of interest everyone. There's aviation, there's the mystery, there's equality and forward thinking. There's the books that she wrote. She designed clothing. There's really something that everyone can be interested in, even if like aviation isn't your thing, or if aviation isn't your thing or something else isn't your thing, there's always something that is part of Amelia's life and legacy that you can be interested in. Yeah. And I think she was just so strong and brave and adventurous, and she was a fun person too. It sounds to me that she was like an amazing person to be around and a fun person in general, lovable, loving. I think just everyone who met her probably loved her, and I think that's part of the reason, just who she was, her spirit sort of captivates people. I can't exactly put it into words what I love so much about her or what other people might love about her. It's just everything about her was just so amazing and captivating, and she was just a normal person, and yet there was so much to her that she did that was so forward thinking of her. It was like she was a woman ahead of her time. There was really no one exactly like her, and I think that's also something that interests people so much, is that she was so different from other people. Just like how people are interested in Eleanor Roosevelt or like other people like that who were so different from the other people during their time, that also has a degree of interest for people because of how impactful she was in her differences. It's always the people who try to make a change in the world who stand out from others because they stand up for others are the people that we remember. And I think that's just that's part of the reason that everyone loves her and everyone knows who she is. And I think also the mystery of her disappearance draws people in too. So if there are people who maybe aren't as interested in the history aspect of it and who she was, they might be drawn into the mystery part. And of course, obviously both, because if you're interested in her life, you can very well be interested in her disappearance as well, like I am. So I think, like I said before, once you get hooked on a mystery, you aren't satisfied until it's solved. So that's another thing that sort of draws people in, because when you find a mystery, you want to solve it. And I think it can be solved. We just have to keep looking, keep researching, and eventually, and when we all work together, we can solve it.
You put it beautifully. I think it's you stated a lot of great stuff in that last answer, and I think you kind of wrapped up and summed up a lot of why people are so fascinated by Amelia's life and her, and even her disappearance a little bit. It makes a lot of sense. I want to ask you to tell everybody where they can find your website, because I think it's, you know, the site itself is, you know, I've looked at it, my team has looked at it. It's an extremely helpful example for young folks out there that are in, you know, junior high and high school, or that are going to start kind of doing stuff like this. It's a great way to put a modern spin on a History Day project. Can you tell everybody the website address and where they can find it?
Yeah, so it's soaringforequality.weebly.com. The program that NHD has you use is the Weebly website creator.
Right. And
so it's under that Weebly address. So it's soaringforequality.weebly.com. Yeah.
Okay. And do you have any last thoughts that you'd like to convey about your website, you know, Amelia Earhart, her life, her legacy? I know you kind of summed it up pretty great in that last answer, but do you have any last thoughts, anything we forgot to talk about that you want to discuss?
Well, I think one thing that I just want to point out in the website is that not everyone sees it the first time they go on the website, but in the chunks of text that are the white text under each page, if you click on the orange parts in the text, It's actually a link to a different part, and it has historical newspapers and more quotes and things that have to do with that part of the text that's highlighted. So, for example, if I click advancements, I can click on the text that says Denison House. And if I click on that, it has historical newspapers and a quote from East to the Dawn by Susan Butler. So I just wanted to point that out just in case people hadn't seen that before, because when I first did the project and I was being judged at NHD, they actually hadn't known that they could do that. So I just wanted to point that out and make sure that everyone can see that there's more there. And also, I just think, I don't know, I feel like you said, I sort of said a lot about Amelia and her legacy and her life. And I just want to say that, like, I hope people understand that history isn't meaningless, isn't some meaningless thing that happened a long time ago that isn't relevant anymore, because history is all around us. The repercussions of the past impact us today, and history is being made around us every day. So it's important to understand that we can learn from the past, positives and negatives, and we should take notice of it. And that doesn't mean that you have to love history as much as I do, but I think there's a lot of importance in learning more about history and more about what has happened in the past. And Amelia is a big part of that, because her legacy today is still evident around us. And I meet people every day that say, like even my mom's friends or teachers at school or people or my friends at school who talk about sort of what Amelia means to them and how they have impacted her life. And I had a teacher tell me that they did a report on Amelia when they were in third grade and have been interested ever since. And there are just so many people that you don't even know have this connection to Amelia, and then they come up to me and tell me about it because they know about my interest in her. And I think that's, not only is it super cool that she can connect so many people, but it's also amazing that she has inspired so many people the way that she has inspired me in aviation and in equality and in following your dreams. And I think it's universal. I think she's an amazing inspiration for everyone. She's my inspiration. She's my role model. And I think it's incredible how she's impacted so many people, but I don't think it's surprising. I think it's amazing, but not surprising because of who she was and what she did. I'm not surprised that so many people have been so impacted by what she did and who she was.
Ellie, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for coming aboard the podcast. We're really happy to have you, and we're hoping to have much more from you in the future.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right. So, did I tell you or what? Ellie's pretty incredible, and she's really a great example of what Amelia Earhart means to people, and we're very excited for whatever the future has in store for Ellie and whatever she decides to do with her life, if it's Amelia Earhart related or not. She's going to do big things, and we're quite proud of her, and we're very happy to have her on the show. So, Ellie, thank you very much. So, that begs the question, who's next? Who's episode 16? Well, we'd like to leave you with a little bit of a tease on who's going to be coming up on the podcast every time we do a recording like this. And next week is quite special. The gentleman that's going to be joining us on the podcast next week is someone that's widely respected in the Earhart community. And as far as Earhart researchers go, this gentleman is one of the top ones out there. And, you know, he's got a lot of great information out there. He's been studying Amelia for a very long time. And that gentleman's name is Ron Bright. We are very honored to have him on the show. And we're going to be talking with him next week. He's going to be calling in, and we're going to be discussing a lot of different things regarding Amelia Earhart. We're really going to go broad spectrum with Ron, and we're going to really get his opinion on multiple different hypotheses and different things regarding the Earhart investigation and the disappearance case. We're very excited to bring that to you. That's in 7 days. Ron Bright's coming up. We're very excited about that. For now, my name is Chris Williamson. Episode 15's in the can. It's been an absolute pleasure, and we'll see you guys in 7 days with Ron Bright.